you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Yes! I hope you had your coffee today because Daily Pop is gonna be lit. Tom Cruise is speaking out about the time he flipped out on set. Someone is calling Chrissy Teigen an insecure troll, and Ellen's new interview is leaving a lot of people in awe. Liliana Vasquez and Jodie Sweetin are here to break this down. Are you guys ready?
It's a big day.
It's a big day. Let's start with Ellen DeGeneres. She is talking about those claims she ran a toxic workplace. Yesterday, she announced that she's ending her talk show, and listen to what she admitted on NBC's Today.
I really didn't understand it. I still don't understand it. It was too orchestrated. It was too coordinated. And, you know, people get picked on, but for 4 months straight for me, and then for, you know, for me to read in the press about a toxic work environment when all I've ever heard from every guest that comes on the show is what a happy atmosphere this is and how what a happy place it is.
All right. That is a lot. That is something going on. What did you guys think about this? Are you feeling bad for Ellen now that she's playing the victim?
I mean, it was, I will say, like, it was intense. It was a lot. It was, and I think, you know, unfortunately, people love to watch someone's fall from grace, right? People love to watch the person who said, be kind, get taken down for toxic behavior, right? Mm-hmm. So everyone was in on it. But I mean, I think, you know, it's something that we had heard about for a while. It wasn't a secret.
You know, something crazy. When I listened to this and she said, you know, all I've heard from guests is that how great this place was.
Being a guest is different than working there.
And it also reminds me of the times, you know, when you had company over and all of a sudden your mom got super nice and the friends
before she was screaming at you and then someone comes in.
And then guests leave, and all of a sudden it turns back into Rikers Island. And then the pizza rolls go back in the deep freezer, and you can't touch them. And so it's interesting. And, you know, I think for Ellen, no one probably did tell her that it was a toxic place. And no one's going to say, by the way, we all think you're mean.
Right. And I don't. And I also think it was, like, producers, too. Like, I know it was not necessarily just people accusing her of it, but it was, like, you know, producers under her. So who knows what she was aware of and wasn't aware of and all that, but it's still,
I don't even think that actually matters, right? Because your name is on all of the signs. Your name is on all of the advertisements. And, you know, her constant saying, oh, I didn't know about this. I'm sorry. It's your job to know about this. It is the Ellen DeGeneres Show. And yes, you have 225 employees, and that is a lot of employees. But I always say with this kind of behavior, it starts at the top. You set the mold.
You set the tone for the show.
And so something was going on there. So to continue now to say, you know, I have so many different buildings. I would only know that this was going on if I didn't leave until the last employee left. To me, at this point in the game, if she's not ending the show because of the accusations, then at least acknowledge the people that were hurt by this, because the accusations are serious. We're talking racism.
Right.
We're talking sexual, like, assault. Like, we're talking intimidation tactics. Right. And to your point, why do you think people didn't come to you, Ellen, to say this or to somebody else? Because they were intimidated by the people that you put in at the top, and you didn't create a culture where you could speak about these
things. And I think everyone wants to work on the Ellen Show, right? There is a prestige to that. And I think oftentimes bad behavior, as we've seen many times before, gets accepted because people want that job. Right. Yeah. I mean, it's a great
thing on a resume.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of ending the show, Ellen admitted the thought of not coming back after last summer's scandal crossed her mind, but she returned anyway. Listen to this.
How can I be an example of strength and perseverance and power if I give up and run away? And so it really is one of the reasons I came back. I worked really hard on myself. I have to say, if nobody else is saying it, it was really interesting because I'm a woman. And it did feel very misogynistic.
No. I will say there are men in this business who for years always behave worse, far worse than that, and have gotten away with it. But I think what's happening now is that that's just not acceptable anymore. But it does, I mean, in my experience, women, if you are a boss, if you are in a position of power, whatever, you don't get to be firm.
Well, I don't know.
But I think there's a line. I'm not saying that it's acceptable. I'm saying there is definitely a line. And I do think that women in the press and in the media get attacked more for this type of behavior than
But if we're men. Sticking to the facts and the timeline, we are hearing that it was a toxic work environment for many years.
So
obviously Ellen got away with it, if it's true,
right.
For many years. I honestly don't see Ellen as, oh, it's because she's a woman. And I'm not saying this because Ellen is a lesbian and I think she's hot and I would date her because she has male energy. I'm saying there are a few women who actually get a seat at the big boys right. table who have gotten away with things. And again, I don't know what's going on.
Right.
But there are a few women who got that opportunity to sit at that table. I think Joss Whedon, I think we're seeing it with Scott Rudin.
Right.
Men aren't getting away with running a hostile work environment
right.
anymore.
Right. I think the culture has changed.
Changed. So completely. I don't think it's because Ellen no. is a woman. I think it's because people are having a field day with her right now. And you're right. People like to see a downfall. Right.
Yeah. And here's it. Bad behavior is bad behavior.
Right.
Men can be guilty of very bad behavior, but so can women.
Right.
And I just don't know why she would bring this up in the interview to put that out there to say, oh, and like, can we maybe talk about the fact that I'm being discriminated against because I'm a woman and this wouldn't happen? I mean, again, just own up to it in a way that feels more authentic.
It feels like
she's looking for
bit.
An excuse.
But that's a human thing.
Right.
That's a human
yeah.
thing, you know. I have thought in my mind, you know, when something goes awry, it's because I'm black or it's because I'm gay. That's the first place that
right.
we go.
Sure.
And
but
I think
would
a lot
you say
of,
that in an interview with Savannah Guthrie that's going to be aired and replayed over and over? Like, we have a lot of inner monologue.
Depending on how much money's on the line, maybe I'll say it. But I would right. never, I don't use that as a crutch, but
yeah.
I think a lot of times that's where people go
right.
because we are in denial about our own part in certain things.
I think you just hit the nail on the head.
Right.
I just don't think she has fully accepted her role and responsibility in what has happened at her show over the last few years.
Right.
I think she's still struggling with that, and you can see it in her face. She doesn't feel good
about
this.
But it's also, I'm not taking up for Ellen, but I will say if I came into work every day and thought I was being, you know, myself or being whatever, and no one ever stopped and said, hey, by the way, you're running a hostile work environment. You need to flip this upside down. No one's going to walk up to Ellen with her name on the door and be like, yo, you're really creating something that's not worthy right now.
True, but I will say this. I have worked in a position of power where I was working in treatment. I had 125 employees under me,
yeah.
and I was in charge. I knew everything that went on among my employees. I knew everything. I knew what was going on. I knew how they interacted with clients. I knew how they interacted with each other. I knew what was going on. And whether anybody brought it to me or not, I knew.
I
think that's part of the responsibility. And I think, you know, taking accountability is hard. I've had to do it a lot of times. And I've had, you know, when you go and make amends, even sometimes when you're like, I don't think I did anything wrong, you have to say, you know what? I hurt you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that my actions hurt you. How can I make this better?
That's true.
Yeah.
That's
how can
true.
I make it better? Even if I think
you weren't
you're
wrong.
In the wrong.
It's not
it's like not
about
I have
that.
To take accountability for what the situation is and say, how can I make this better? Not how can I make this better, but you know what really happened.
Yes.
Right.
Well, oh, I didn't know.
Somebody else who's taken accountability this morning, Chrissy Teigen just apologized for bullying Courtney Stodden. She even called herself an insecure, attention-seeking troll. So this all started when Courtney claimed Chrissy would, quote, privately DM me and tell me to kill myself, things like, I can't wait for you to die. Now, this was back in 2011 when Courtney was a teenager. Chrissy responded, in part, I have tried to connect with Courtney privately, but since I publicly feud all this, I want to also publicly apologize. I'm so sorry, Courtney. I hope you can heal now, knowing how deeply sorry I am. On top of this, Courtney now claims on Twitter that Chrissy blocked them and they aren't convinced the apology is sincere. What do you think about Courtney saying that?
That the apology isn't sincere?
Yeah. Did you think the apology was sincere?
I think I will say this. I'm a big fan of Chrissy Teigen. I love her. I love how outspoken she is. I think she's hilarious and all of this. And I mean, it seems like a sincere apology to me. But I don't know what they're... I don't know how well they know each other. I don't know. But the accusations are pretty...
Yeah. Here's the thing.
That's bad.
The accusations are bad. I think what Courtney's responding to is the timing of this all, right? So she released the receipts to the Daily Mail, I think it was. And so Chrissy is apologizing because those came out. Chrissy has had many years. I think she said, I don't know what the timeline was of when she sent these DMs. So she's had since 2011 to grow, which she said she has, to learn from her behavior. But what Courtney's also saying is that in that time, Chrissy has never privately reached out to her, nor has anyone from her team reached out to her. So I can understand why Courtney's saying, okay, the timing of this feels suspicious. This goes out into the public ether. You're a very public person, and now you're apologizing. And by the way, the apology to me from Chrissy was perfect, right? She took accountability for what she did. She didn't justify her actions. She didn't say, I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings. Right. There were no ifs there. Right. And she owned her behavior. Yeah. This is a masterclass in how to apologize. Most celebrities don't know how to do it this well.
Right.
But my question is, why didn't she do this sooner? Do you know what I mean? Like, Chrissy's always on Twitter.
Well, hold on. We're going to talk about that right after the break. We'll come back more with more Chrissy Teigen. And also coming up, Oprah admits to a major fail that still makes her cringe. We're going to talk about that, too. That's next.
So much.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Before the break, we were talking about Chrissy Teigen apologizing for bullying Courtney Stodden. And Liliana, you had a good question.
I wanted to ask you. Okay, so this happened in 2011. In that time, Chrissy has not reached out directly to Courtney, allegedly. So did she issue this public apology because now the public knows what she was DMing her? Why do you think it took her so long?
Oh, I think she, like most people on Twitter, think that their words are justified and no one ever has to go back and do any kind of sort of deleting or accountability because Twitter was the Wild Wild West. And the only reason why it really came up, let's be reminded, is because Chrissy Teigen deleted Twitter a few weeks ago because it was a not safe environment and it wasn't
people
a happy place.
People were being bullies and mean. And
were bullying, people were being mean, which is why she went ahead, Courtney Stodden went ahead and release the Kraken.
She was like,
yes.
Okay, where you want to say it's a bad place, I'm going to show you.
Look how you made it a bad place.
You also did it.
Right.
I will say, I agree with you. I love Chrissy Teigen as a personality, as a person, and I think you can grow within 10 years.
This is
why I always say, you don't ever go back in people's Twitters, because if you went back in mine 10 years ago, like in everybody's, you will find something. Right. I will say, I do think this apology is sincere, but I also think that sometimes celebrities, the first apology you get is always written by a publicist.
Totally.
And it's always, how do we protect the bag? How do we protect the brand? And then you see somebody talk about it 2 months later and you get to really see how they reflected on the part that they had in what Courtney Stodden is saying. So yeah, I think she's sincerely sorry. I just know there was somebody that typed that.
You don't think she wrote any of that? Some of it sounds to me like Chrissy.
The accountability.
It sounds like her to me.
Most apologies, I agree with you. I don't know who they hire, some crisis PR agency that like just pumps out apologies like on a weekly basis.
Right.
To me, this one sounded like somebody who has done a lot of work in therapy.
Yeah.
It sounded like somebody who has worked on themselves over the last decade and someone who's saying, you know what, you're absolutely right. I don't know. Something about this apology felt really sincere and right to me.
Yeah.
The timing, suspicious. She should have done this privately because a public apology is bullshit. Let's be honest. Like, my husband
can know that she didn't.
Well, Courtney said
she hasn't reached out to her at all.
But Chrissy said that she tried.
She did. So
she said, we don't know what's going on.
We don't know.
Let me ask you a question. With everybody being canceled in 2020, 2021, 2019 was like the highest rate of cancellations ever. Do you think Chrissy Teigen is going to be canceled for this?
I don't think so. I don't think so. And by the way, we as people need to do a better job at forgiving others. Exactly what you said.
Like, we can't judge people by their worst moments.
Yep. I agree.
It's not fair.
Well, speaking of worst moments, Oprah Winfrey just fessed up about her biggest interview fail, and it's pretty amazing. Here's what she said on Rob Lowe's Literally podcast.
Sally Field was on.
Oh, boy.
My Big Mistake. I asked her, does Bert sleep with his toupee on? I even say now, I cringe to even think that I asked that question. But I asked it because the producers are like, you have to ask, you have to ask, you have to ask. That's what everybody wants to know. And so I asked it, and she went cold on me. She shut down, and I could not get in again. I deserved it. I deserved it. I deserved it, because that is such an inappropriate question.
Oh, my God. During the time when Sally Field was dating Burt Reynolds. Ugh. Why is it always a producer wanting me to ask this question?
Because it's the truth. Okay, I don't want to get fired here today, but let me just be totally honest. How many times have you been at a junket or at an interview and you're looking at your questions and you go, I can't ask that question.
Right.
And the producers are like, no, you don't understand. We got to get this moment. It's all about the moment.
Right.
I promise it's going to be fine. I'm like,
it's
because you don't have to sit across from her, look her in the eyes and ask, does Burt Reynolds sleep with a toupee?
Right.
It's easy for you to type the question. Not so easy to ask the question.
I always know. Like, I mean, I've gotten asked so many times questions where it's like, we're not going to talk about that. So, and I'm just like, and I have no problem. Like, at first it used to fluster me. Now I just sit there and I'm like,
100%.
And just, I'll make it real awkward. That's fine. We can be off. We can sit for 15 seconds in silence. I'll stare at you, and you know, and I know. But at the same time, like, I know that the person asking the question has a producer in their ear that's like, we've got to get this moment. And 9 times out of 10, the person that's asking the question is like,
they want to die.
I know.
For sure. I will say, I once was at the Black Women in Film and TV celebration for Essence Magazine. This was like when Kobe Bryant had died. This was like literally the
beginning of 2020.
After. Yes, beginning of 2020. I'm on the carpet, and when you're on a carpet, it's like you're next to another outlet. And the Gail King, Lisa Leslie interview had just happened. There was a lot of fallout about the questions that Gail had asked Lisa Leslie. And there was a young lady standing next to me. I'm not going to say what outlet she was from. And her producer, who was white, just so happened to be white, I'm just giving you some context.
Right.
She was Latin, and she had a question about the Kobe Bryant, Lisa Leslie interview. And she was outwardly nervous to ask it. She was a little bit scared, and she didn't want to do it. But the producer was like, you have to ask it, you have to ask it, you have to ask it. When the first person came up, I literally looked at her, I said, you can't ask that question. I'm so sorry. Like, you can't.
Yeah.
And she was like, I know my producer won't. Like, And he's like, I'm getting calls from the control room. You have to ask.
Yeah,
and I was like, sir, she cannot ask that question to these people.
Good for you.
Because I know what's going to happen.
Right. Yeah. And it's not going to be fair.
So she's like, I'm going to lose my job. I'm like, look, I'm going to interview Lonnie Love first, and then I'm going to send Lonnie Love to you. You can ask Lonnie Love the question. Lonnie's going to be easier, but she will give you some stuff back.
Right.
But she'll give you but sit in it for a minute and let your producer see what's about to happen.
Right.
So Lonnie came to me. I talked to Lonnie. I literally pulled her in and I said, Lonnie, this girl's about to ask you a question.
Just be
easy. She did it. The producer was like, okay, it's not working. Move on. sometimes you just have to stand up for what you know is not right. Yes, I want the soundbite, but I, as a reporter and as a correspondent, want the relationship with the celebrity.
Exactly.
You're not. You don't want to kill that because at some point they might talk about it. At some point, if you get, like, I've met amazing correspondents and amazing interviewers, and sometimes you're like, you know what? I'm going to open up a little bit about this because you've been respectful to me. You've been kind to me. You have not harassed me about stuff. Like, I'm on the carpet. You didn't ask the worst question when you could have. That's important.
Yeah.
Like, it's really important because eventually you start to trust somebody.
Amen.
Absolutely.
That's what it's all about.
And it's at any show or any job. You always have to remember the company or the show is in the business of the show.
Right.
The only person that is in the business of you is you.
Oh,
just saying.
Coming up after Liliana loses her job at E! Silence about his wreck caught on camera. Why he's not backing down. And later, things got so wild during our interview with Chris Maloney and Dylan McDermott that Dylan walked off the set. Stick around to see what the heck Liliana did to piss him off.
That's it. Bye. Thank you.
Bye. You are about to lose your job.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
I am so proud and excited about AAPI Heritage Month because it's finally a month that we get to celebrate us. There are so many unknown, amazing facts and history about the Asian community, and this is a time to really open it up and share them. This is a time to go talk to your parents and your family about how they got here or what their origin was like, to talk to your friends and family about what their knowledge of Asian history is, and to maybe share a couple of favorite things about your culture and your family. I also am so excited to share my people's food with my friends. I love when Mama Mai, my mom, starts cooking up her amazing bumbrio, pho, bumbawe, and I invite all my friends over. So happy AAPI Heritage Month, and I so hope that you are out there celebrating with good food and good friends and great conversation. Mwah, I love you.
That's our girl, Jeannie Mai, giving us tips and insight on how she's embracing Asian American culture this month. We're going to be celebrating AAPI Heritage all month long here on Daily Pop. You know, remember when Tom Cruise flipped out? No, I'm not talking about on Oprah's couch. I'm talking about on the set of Mission Impossible 7. Well, he's finally speaking out and defending himself. In case you forgot, here's when Tom went the F off on his team for allegedly violating safety protocols.
I'm on the phone with every studio at night, and they're looking at us to make their movies. We are creating thousands of jobs, you.
Now, that audio was published by The Sun and reportedly led to Mission Impossible staffers quitting. Well, now, according to the LA Times, Tom tells Empire Magazine, I said what I said. There was a lot at stake at that point. Tom also admitted he was very emotional and worried about the set being shut down again. And he clarified that he only called out select people. Do you think Tom Cruise is justified in this?
I'm conflicted. Okay, I'm conflicted because you have to think back about when this happened. So this happened December 2020. Okay, they were shooting this
crazy
in Britain in the height of a pandemic with climbing infection rates, climbing death rates. And our industry, I don't know if you felt this, but I certainly felt, I didn't know that we would come back.
I didn't know we'd ever, I was like, that's it. I better find another job. You know, I was like, nothing's ever gonna happen.
Exactly. And so the fact that he had a live set that was actually in production, I'm not saying he was justified to use that kind of language because I think there's a more effective way to communicate his point. But I did some really
bad things in December 2020. I was emotional. I was a hot mess. Nobody recorded me, thankfully.
Yeah. Oh, I was. Yeah, it was ugly. It was ugly.
But do you know, I just think you have to go back to where we were. And I'm not saying that I justify him talking to anybody like that. But I understand where he was coming from and what he was trying. He was trying to protect that set and protect the jobs of the thousands of people that work on a movie like Mission Impossible.
But I hate to be a bitch and I hate
It's okay, be a bitch.
I hate to turn the tables on you guys. You guys just said that if Ellen offended anybody, that she had to apologize. So now we're saying it's okay for Tom to say I said what I said.
If this was a woman, it would be a very different situation.
And I want to say this, okay? I will say this. Out of all of the years that Tom Cruise has been working in Hollywood, I do believe what people have said and people that have worked with him for many years, this has never been part of his character.
Yeah, that has always been a pleasure to work
out of character for him.
That's true.
So it is not like we have multiple reports of Tom Cruise losing his mind on a crew or a staff. This is an isolated incident.
On a couch.
I like that one.
On a couch.
So again, I think it's different than Ellen, but I hear what you're saying.
Okay, I know I get it. I love, and I'm going to say this, that he's standing firm by what he said. And I think for the greater good, to keep people employed, sometimes you gotta just whip it out and say what you need to say. And I agree with that.
Yeah.
I also agree if people were not feeling it or felt triggered by it, I probably think that knowing Tom Cruise's intense ass, he probably had a phone call and said, look, I said probably the wrong things, but I stand by what I said. And if you were breaking protocols, yell at me.
Right. You know what especially I mean? At that point, because it was like, if one thing went wrong, Mission Impossible 7 is shut down. Like, that's millions and millions of dollars. And I get it. I have gone off before, but I do think it was an isolated incident. I hope he apologized. I mean, I hope he at least was like, that's not going to be like that anymore, you know?
I'm sure.
But I don't know.
You know what? I'm going to release the audio of when I went off on this.
I'm going to release the audio of me yelling at my children. Fantastic.
Yeah. Coming up, what Christopher Maloney just admitted about his booty.
Ooh.
The wild interview is next.
God. It's good. Welcome back to Daily Pop. It's time to take a look at the stories making headlines in today's Hollywood Minute. Prince Harry sat down with Armchair Expert and got really personal about what it was like to grow up super famous. Here's what he told Dax Shepard about how he felt as a teenager.
I was liking it to Truman Show. Have you seen that movie?
Yep. The mix between the Truman Show and being in a zoo.
The drama is coming to an end for the Pearson family. The Hollywood Reporter just announced This Is Us will end season 6. The news is a shock to fans. Yes, I was blown away, but the show's creator says it was always meant to be like this. He says he knew how the show would end for years and that they even shot some of the finale back in 2018. And did y'all know Kourtney Kardashian tattoos? She posted a few pictures of herself inking I love you on her booze Travis's arm. He responded, woman of many talents. These two have only been together since January, but we guess she wants him to know this love is forever. Like, forever ever? And that, y'all, is your Hollywood Minute. Quickly, though, I gotta tell you, I had the best night last night. I got to hang with Christopher Maloney and Dylan McDermott, and they might be totally serious on Law & Order Organized Crime, but that did not stop us from talking thruffles and booties.
I've never met the smart, dangerous, very bad man. I'd kind of like an introduction.
How does it feel to slip back into Elliot Stabler's shoes?
Like their blue suede shoes. It feels great. It was an anxious journey before we started finally shooting. You know, it's like pregame jitters. Once I got out there, it was really like I was back home.
Dylan, let's talk a little bit about your character. So you play crime boss Richard Wheatley on the show. You're the resident baddie. But I have to say, I saw a photo of you and Mariska. You both posted the same photo, okay? You're in character. I need somebody to clarify what is happening in this photo before all the Law & Order stands lose their mind and Captain Stabler comes over to kick your ass.
You know, it's funny because she wants to kick my ass, but at the same time, she finds herself conflicted. Is the right word.
You can't blame the woman.
So yes, she was on set the other day and she was kind enough to take a photo. And everybody was just like, what? They felt so like, no,
Elliot. Betrayed.
Where's Elliot? Elliot, quick, come save horrible. Her. You have to
ruined
say.
People's day. I hope you're happy with yourself.
So yeah, it's been fun.
Where were you, Chris? Like, what? Why? Where
at
were
home,
you?
At home, crying yes. in my bed. Why are you reopening old wounds?
Well, speaking of Mariska, we kind of need to set the record straight because we spoke to her husband, Peter Herman, and he let us in on a little secret.
You guys are in one of the most, I would say, progressive marriages in Hollywood because you guys have been in a throuple with Christopher Maloney for that entire time. How does it feel to share your wife with her work husband?
You know, we make it work. We make it work. And sometimes, you know, Chris and I have some things to negotiate, but we've gotten really good at communicating with each other.
So what are some of the things that the two of you negotiate?
Time with the beloved Mariska. You know, he gets the bulk because, I mean, after all, they do share three kids. So I give him that, you know, and he gets to pay the bills. But, you know, I get to work with her bulk of the time and stare lovingly into her blue eyes. So, yeah, it works. And I get her every other weekend.
What you don't know is there is a frumple coming, which is four.
Or quadruple.
The other thing that the show has gotten a lot of attention for, besides being incredible, is something that you have, Chris. You even gave it its own hashtag. So I need to know, is the booty something that you actively work on, or are you just hashtag blessed?
I exit again.
Yeah, just take part. Yeah, look, I enjoy a good squat as much as the next guy, and maybe a deadlift or two. And sure, it takes time. And sure, my ass now has its own publicist, but time and money, I think it's worth it. It's worth it.
Now, I need Dylan to come back. I gotta ask him why people need to watch him on this show.
I just can't be witness to that whole conversation, you know.
So Dylan, let us know, why do you think everyone should be watching this show?
Hello.
That's all we need.
You don't even need the words.
That's it.
Look, get Chris Maloney's booty on the phone.
Can somebody get...
She has a publicist. Get his ass on the phone. We need to talk to him.
Literally. Y'all, the best butt in primetime. Law and Order Organized Crime airs Thursdays on NBC. Let me tell you, my night was perfection.
I bet
night.
It was, honey. Uh-huh. After the break, we're going to be celebrating National Pie Day, but this is not your chewy apple pie. We'll show you how to level up with America's favorite dessert when we come back.
Oh my God, this word. It's so delicious.
Apple pie.
The pie and the booty.
It is National Apple Pie Day, so we're showing you how to take America's favorite dessert to the next level with the help of Brianna Abrams, CEO, founder, and chief piesmith at Winston Pies, everybody.
Hi, thank you.
Hi.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So what is the secret to a really good apple pie?
Two things, love and time.
Okay.
I thought you were going to say butter.
Right. Butter's butter is important, but ultimately pie is a labor of love. It takes a lot of time. And there are some ways that if you're short on time, we can, and I'll talk a little bit about that, but it's not something that can just kind of be whipped up too quickly.
Oh okay, got God. It.
Well, you guys, I'm going to let you know, I already tasted this. So before we get started, you need to whip out your phones, scan this QR code at the bottom of the screen so you can get this recipe. Let's go for it.
Here we go. All okay. right, today's National Apple Pie Day. Woo-hoo. Let's celebrate. We're starting with about 4.5 pounds of apples. Mm-hmm. These are already peeled. We put a little bit of lemon juice on it so that they don't turn brown if you take okay. a couple minutes.
And what type of apples are these?
These are Granny Smith, but okay. I recommend you take your favorite ones. Now okay. it's crisp. May, Honeycrisp. Mm-hmm. I love yes. Pink Ladies. Yes. Those are super crispy. Okay. Go for the crunchy ones. Okay, got your apples. Next, we're gonna take your favorite berry. And that's, right now is berry season, it's perfect. Mm-hmm. I took blackberries. from the farmer's market.
Ooh, fantastic. Nice.
Yeah, so you're gonna dump these guys right here. It's about a pound and a half. Some people really like blueberries, blackberries, raspberries, whatever you want. Next up, the best is sugar.
Always.
I did about a cup and a half. You can do what you feel is right. If you want to dial it back, because maybe your grandma's going to have some.
No, honey, that's not how it works.
Okay, go for it. The sugar.
Mm-mm. Fantastic. Next is the cinnamon. About a teaspoon, 2 teaspoons of cinnamon. Drop it in.
Yes.
There we go. And then you are going to add a little bit of this lemon juice right on the side. The lemon juice brings out the tartness of the blackberries.
Okay.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I heard that before.
Yeah, you're going to put that in there. Now, the great thing about making a filling is you can make this the night before or the day before. So if you want to save time and you have someone coming, let's say, for Saturday or Sunday, make it the night before. That can go right in your mouth.
Everywhere.
Just come it in. Yes. All right, so that's going to sit there and kind of sit and absorb
the sugar.
If you do it overnight, put it in the fridge, and some juices will form, and that's fine. The dough, let's get over there. You'll see here, I've already prepared the bottom part of your pie. It has the all butter crust.
Yes.
The recipe for the dough, you guys also have it, but we went ahead and helped you out. Save time. Also can be made days in advance. So you're going to be able to do that in advance.
Okay.
We're going to put our pie filling in.
How do we up the game on our crust?
Because
that's the most important part to me.
Down below, couple options. I'm going to put these in. And you can see that you've got
look how cute this
stars
is.
Right?
The stripes. Stars and the stripes on the crust. Can you guys see this? This is amazing.
And then one thing that's really fun, if you have time and you are into detail work, you can braid.
I can't.
Okay.
I can't even
You can see braids take time, but they're pretty.
Oh, yeah. See, I can't even do that with hair, let
personally,
alone
look at you guys. Like, when you see the finished product of the stars and stripes right here, it is amazing. But let me just say this. I don't have the time. I work. I'm crazy.
Yeah.
Where can people find pies that are just this good?
You can come to Winston Pies.
Winston Pies, you guys have to check it out. Thank you, Brianna, for coming.
Thank you so much for coming.
Delicious. Thank you so much.
Awesome pie.
Don't forget to scan that QR code on your phones for the full recipe, or you can do like me and order your own pie at winstonpies.com. I just got 4 in the commercial break. Up next, no more bad hair days. Liliana is scoring some huge deals on the best hair care products that are going to make you want to whip that hair back and forth all day. Let me get back at this pie, everybody. This is one of the best pies.
Wait, we have to deliver the pie to the pregnant lady. See?
Oh, no, that's...
There you go. There's a little baby pie. And let's see if there's an extra 4.
Welcome back. It's time to shop with another Deals for Real. And today I'm sharing my favorite hair care products that are going to make every day a great hair day. Remember, to score these exclusive savings, all y'all got to do is grab your phone and scan that little QR code on your screen. So let's get to it. Okay, when it comes to hair care, you got to start with your scalp. Ceremonia is one of my new favorite clean hair care brands. And their Scalp Power Duo, y'all, is a game changer. First, you apply what they call the aceite de mosca. It means miracle oil. You apply it right to your scalp. And this is a scalp remedy that helps promote healthy, strong, and shiny hair, all while reducing frizz. You just rub a little bit on, leave it on for about 10 to 15 minutes, jump in the shower, and then you're going to grab this nifty little tool here. It's called the masajador, aka the massager. Yes, this company was founded by a fellow Latina. And you're going to massage the oil into your scalp to get the blood flow going. Then you shampoo. And this is a really important step because this helps exfoliate all that gunk that builds up between shampoos. Trust me, y'all, this is going to change the texture, the feel of your hair. One of my favorite launches of last year. Okay, so just like our skin type, our hair type is also unique and different, and that's where Pros comes in. They fully personalize hair care just for you. So every bottle that shows up at your house is a custom formula. All you have to do is take a detailed survey on their website, and they actually create a formula based on 85 different factors. So you are getting a truly personal hair care system. If you look closely at our bottles right there, you can see they were created for E Daily Pop. In this kit, you get 3 things. You get a pre-shampoo mask, a shampoo, and a conditioner, all fully custom. And today,
I got y'all $10 off your first order. So head to pros.com/dailypop to order one for yourself. Okay, next up is Bread Beauty Supply. This is a Black-owned hair care brand, and their mission is to simplify textured hair care routines. And Bread is so incredibly generous. They are giving y'all a 20% discount site-wide so you can try any and all of their products. So go ahead and scan that QR code. But if you're looking for the best bang for your buck, I got it right here. It is this kit right here. It's called Kit Number One. You get a gentle daily hair wash, their hair mask, which is this deep creamy conditioner. You get the hair oil, which is incredible. And you also get a little scrunchie, AKA the bread puff. But grab this kit. They sell out very, very quickly. Pick it up now. Okay, next, hair masks are a huge trend right now. This mask is from Colleen Rothschild. And y'all, I am telling you, it is the gold standard. Like literally, it is liquid gold. This is a color safe conditioning treatment. It softens, detangles, and it gives all hair types new life without actually weighing your hair down. It is full of hydrating ingredients. So you're gonna strengthen your hair. You're gonna reduce the frizz. I've been using this for almost 6 months now, and it has made my hair so healthy, and it also protects my color, which I love, and you can get this for 25% off today. Okay, next, let's have a little fun, right? Because now that our hair is healthy and hydrated, we want to add a little color. These are color gloss conditioners from Color & Co. by L'Oreal, and they are the perfect pop of temporary color. You can choose from 6 different colors, and you can use these weekly to keep your color vibrant, keep it from getting brassy. If you tone your hair like I do, brassy is a real issue, or you can use it just to refresh your color, and it only takes about 10 minutes. And the great news about these is that they work on colored hair, bleached hair, non-color treated hair. So take advantage of the great deal that we have on these for y'all today. Now, my favorite step in hair care has to be styling. So today, we have two of my favorite hair tools from one of the best hair tool brands out there, T3. These are never on sale, and these are also not your basic tools. If you want really beautiful modern waves, try this iron. It is the Curl ID. It glides so smoothly through your hair, so you get that perfect beach wave. You can see it on the model there. And then the Lucea flat iron is amazing if you want something a little bit straighter and super sleek. But what I love about the flat iron is you can also use it to create curls or waves. I actually use that style. Okay, I'm like, I didn't use that style. My stylist used that style this morning to create these waves on my hair. But what is so cool about these is that they have smart touch interface and heat ID technology. So these actually magically adjust the iron, the temperature of the iron, to your unique hair profile, so you never damage your hair or burn your hair when you're using these incredible tools. Trust me, grab these today. Okay, so to shop everything I just shared, all you gotta do is scan that QR code, or you can head to eonline.com/shop. And just so you know, E may get a commission for sales made through our site. Now, don't go anywhere, because up next, we have a need for speed. We're gonna tell you what we're talking about up next.
Hillary Duff has a major prop. Is she chuggy? Watch this.
I have been stressing for days about this. Am I chuggy? Are you chuggy? Do you know if you're chuggy?
I literally say, if you have to ask, 9 times out of 10, you're probably at least chuggy adjacent, if not chuggy.
I just hate the word.
It's such a weird word.
It's such a weird, who came up with that?
Gen Z.
Gen Z, it's a lot. I have 2 little Gen Zers, and they show me things, and I'm like, what is that? I don't know what that means. And so apparently I am chuggy because I don't understand it.
It just means you're basic, right?
It's basic. It's the newest, right. But you're basic is chuggy. You can't call somebody basic because that's chuggy.
Oh, so I'm so already chuggy.
Yes.
Right.
You're starting the day off chuggy.
Look,
I mean, I'll take it. I'm old.
I don't have to be cool anymore.
I don't need to be cool anymore.
Let me ask you a question. Do you remember the day you realized that you were like
old?
Uncool? Like that you were too old to be in the know?
I have children. I have a 13-year-old and an 11-year-old. I realize it daily. Like, every day, they show me a TikTok or the outfits. I'm like, what is the high and the thick? It's not cute. No, not like that, but, like, the jeans that are just not flat, big, wide legs.
Jeans.
And, like,
little skinny jeans are
chuggy.
Skinny
jeans are chuggy. Mm-hmm. I like them better because they're more comfortable.
Are you chuggy? Oh, wait, when did you realize you weren't cool?
I realized I was chuggy 4 years ago.
Right, like, yeah.
I've been chuggy. They diagnosed chuggy with me.
Yeah. I'm T-shirts, jeans. I'm not trying to be cool anymore, and I'm not trying to be Gen Z, because that's.
As my friend would say, you can be chuggy because you're on TV 5 days a week, and it's fine. You can get away with it.
There you go.
You guys, come back tomorrow. We've got a major Nicki Minaj announcement and a secret about Harry Potter.
Ooh.
That was actually a Nicki Minaj reference. Check out Nightly Pop tonight at 11:30 and make sure you watch Daily Pop every weekday at 11 a.m. here on E! All the random white guys in here didn't get that Nicki Minaj impression, but I hope you
did.
See you tomorrow. Thank you, Jody. All the white guys are like, what is that?
Is he having a spasm on TV?
Did he short circuit on TV?
Is something wrong?